Welcome to the latest episode of the People Will Talk podcast. Joining me in studio today is Maria.
Hello.
And very special guest, Colin Murphy. Colin, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So it's a pleasure for us to have you here because, first of all, you're a man who I know from your days in Madrid. And you went on to found a successful personal training company, and now you're an entrepreneur with Beard Oil. So we have so much to get into with you today. And starting off with the most basic question, but also the most fundamental, you're now in Cork, but why did you originally move to Madrid? Why did you feel the call of the Spanish capital?
Well, to be honest, I never felt the call to move to Spain, but it was kind of coincidence that I ended up in Spain. It was way back in 2010. I was a carpenter and I lost my job because the building industry went to zero. So I lost my job and I was kind of trying to create a new business, which was selling energy bars in vending machines. So I was kind of buying vending machines and then putting them into gyms. So I was on my way to collect a vending machine in a local town near me, Bandon. And it was a terrible day. I'll never forget it. It was raining like crazy. And I pulled into the petrol station. And as I was filling my car, I noticed these two girls kind of in the area where I was filling my car and didn't think anything of it, went back in, paid for my petrol, and then off I went. But then as I pulled out of the petrol station, I saw these two girls hitchhiking on the side of the road in the lashing rain. So I kind of felt sorry for them. So I pulled over and they ended up being two Spanish girls. So one of them sat in the front, one of them sat in the back, and we just got chatting. They were going as far as Bandon. They were going to Bandon, I was continuing on to Dublin. So we just got chatting, and they were new in town, and they were kind of just over here for a few months, I think. But just one thing led to another. I went on a few dates with one of them, and then started kind of, you know, dating seriously. And I didn't have anything to do. I was jobless, and so I started thinking, what would be the next thing to do for me? The building industry was in bits, so I wasn't going to get a job for another year or two. So I decided, after myself and the Spanish girl were dating for maybe 6 months, first of all, it was me going to Madrid maybe every one or two weekends a month. We did that for about 6 months or 8 months, and then I ended up moving there basically for a year to see what it was going to be like. But I remember going to Madrid for the first time for an interview, actually. So I went for an interview before I ever moved there, got a job as an English teacher, 8 hours a week. That's all I had. That's the only amount of work I had when I decided to make the move. So it was risky, but oh my God, best decision of my life.
You do come back quite often, don't you?
I do. So I ended up staying in Madrid for 2011 until 2016. So about 5.5 years. And it was a really tough decision to leave. I wasn't very happy with English teaching. For me to be very happy, obviously I love my friends. I love the city, but I didn't love what I was doing. It was quite repetitive. And I could see back home that all my friends were kind of going up in their careers and doing very, very well. And I just couldn't see me progressing anymore with my English teaching. And I found that I was working like crazy hours and, you know, making good enough money, but I wasn't fulfilled at all. So like, it was a very tough decision to leave. So I found it very hard to kind of get out of Madrid. Sorry, Matt, for losing my train of thought, Maria.
No, that's all interesting. I was just wondering because I think you do come back quite a bit.
Yes, coming back.
To see friends. Or, you know, just because you like the city. I don't know. Everybody that goes away seems to come back at some point.
Well, when I moved back to Ireland, I was a full year thinking about Spain and really on the verge of moving back. For that full year, I was on the verge of moving back. And then eventually I settled in. But, you know, Ireland is small. The weather is very, very bad. And I missed all these things about Spanish life. So that's why I started coming back. I didn't really come back the first year because I was broke. I didn't have any money. So I was trying to start off a personal training business because that's kind of where my background was, where I went, what I went to college for. So it was very, very, very difficult to get back to Spain. But once I did start to make a bit of money, I started coming back regularly for the food, to keep try to keep up my little bit of Spanish I have, and also to get a bit of good weather, because as Enda knows, the Irish weather is just brutal.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, because a lot of people talk about the difficulties of moving to a new place, but nobody really talks about the difficulty of going back. And I remember we spoke before, and you mentioned as well, nobody talks about the difficulty when your business starts going well, because you're not prepared for that upscaling, you know. So you've lived a lot of experiences that people do talk about, you know, of change, for example, but also that they don't talk about. So with your personal training business, and I remember filming you in gyms as you were getting hot and sweaty, and I'm there with a camera, and I won't explain any more for the listeners. Believe that as it is. But and eventually you go back to Ireland. You're on beaches, leading lots of people in a big gym classes. You have people watching your YouTube videos. So you navigate that and have success. So can you kind of walk us through this roller coaster of emotions, the kind of scariness of making that change, readjusting, and then finding your way and actually building that platform of success as well?
Yeah, well, I've always been someone who doesn't think much about risk. I'm a risky person. That's my personality. So, you know, someone like I would think about something for possibly a day or two, whereas someone else might think about the same thing for a month or two. I like to kind of go for things. And I've always pushed myself, whether that's kind of public speaking or doing something that's uncomfortable. I like to just throw myself into it because I feel like that I'll grow from it. So the personal training thing was going very, very well. We had created the biggest beach workout in Ireland for a couple of years. And in my kind of business journey, the two pivotal points were meeting those two Spanish girls, and also COVID coming along, because COVID blew my fitness business to pieces. So I would have continued with the fitness business. And, you know, in the meantime, I had started the beard company just for myself and as almost like a hobby. But then once COVID came, things were flying it with the fitness business, and I probably would have continued. But I was looking for something. I was looking for a business that was less hands-on and less tiring, because I was up every morning at 5:15. I was doing two classes in the morning. Then you'd have a break, and then you do another couple of classes in the evening. So I was trying to get a nap in the middle of the day, and the days were super long. That was Monday to Friday. You had to be back on Monday morning again at 5:15 to get going again. So like, you didn't really have your weekends to yourself either, because you were preparing. So I was looking for something to give me a little more. Like, it's very, very much attached to my Spanish travels, because I was looking for a job that would allow me to work 3 or 4 days and then go away without, you know, having someone on my back saying, why aren't you at work? And it just happens that when I do go away now with the business, the beer business, that you continue making money because it's online, and then you come back and you post out the order. So, yeah, I've always been a little bit risky, and I kind of enjoy that, you know. You probably know yourself, when life is very, very settled, you know, a little bit too settled, it's great, it's comfortable, but it can get a little bit boring. And, you know, my life in Clonakilty is absolutely fantastic. I have everything I need, but it can get a little bit boring, which is why I do a lot of exploring in Spain. And especially this year as well, I'm going to do a lot more in different cities around Spain.
I think what's interesting about that is, like, obviously you're so focused in Ireland, but then Spain is your happy place. So you have this nice division between, well, Spain is just relaxation and fun, and Ireland is like pedal to the metal, really working, right? And also your story kind of is really interesting, because it shows the travails of teaching, whether it's English teaching or gym teaching. It's just like, you're just a slave to this awful timetable. And it's always like really early in the morning and late at night as well. So that's definitely the worst aspect, I think.
Well, you bring up teaching, and the teaching has been, you know, so important in all my careers, my English teaching, my gym instruction, and now with the beard company, I have a YouTube channel, and I, you know, I teach guys how to use the beard products, how to look after their beard. So like, I really enjoy teaching, but I didn't enjoy teaching the way it was done in for me in Madrid with small children, and then all the up to adults, and just like, I don't know. It, academically, I was never amazing in school. So like being on sitting down in an office and you know, by the book all the time was quite difficult for me. You know me, I'm quite physical and I'm quite active. I like to move around the place as much as I can. So that was tough. But like teaching has followed me all the way through, and I love it. I love kind of trying to give information in a way that's kind of understandable for people. So my time in Madrid has been unbelievably valuable in that sense.
Colin, because we've spoken to quite a few Irish people that actually spent some time here, or they came for like 6 months or whatever, and then they've just been here for 20 years, or, you know, and so your experience is valuable to us because it's a little bit different. You came here and then you decided to go back. Obviously, you like coming back. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about what it's like to go back after you've been abroad. You say you had to leave because you lost your job. So what was it like for you going back to Ireland? And, you know, was it difficult to adjust back to life there? Or
as Enda was saying, no one prepares you for going back to the country that you kind of immigrated from, you know, like, so I wasn't prepared at all. I thought I'd go home and I'd enjoy my time, my family, and it would just be a case of, all right, this is the next chapter of my life, let's move on. But it was far from that. I was like very down for a long time because everything is different. Like I could understand moving back from maybe England to Ireland, you know, the culture isn't that different, but like moving back from Spain to Ireland was completely different in all areas, you know, the food, the language, the kind of atmosphere on the street, moving from a massive city like Madrid to, I was going to a tiny little place in Limerick called Castle Connell where my brother lived. There was probably maybe 700 people if I'm lucky. So I missed the street noise. It was completely different. And it, like I said, a full year I was thinking about moving back, and I was on to my old bosses saying, listen, I might be back next month, I don't know what's happening here. And it was a real gradual process that was, I'm lucky I stayed because I was very, very close to moving back, and I would have enjoyed Spain for everything, like I said, the food and all that and the weather, but I wouldn't have been fulfilled in my job, and that would have been a shame.
I guess it's a look of the draw, isn't it? Because one of the people we're going to interview soon lives in Guadalajara, which is a mountain village, relatively close to Madrid, but still, he says walking around the city or the town, rather, it's just old people everywhere, and there's no buzz, you know. So I can imagine Castle Connell might lack the vibrancy of a Dublin city, or even Cork city, as small as it is, has buzz like. But you mentioned the physicality though, Colin, as well. And as a bit of a tangent, because we'll go back to your beard company in a second, because that's also really interesting to jump into. But you, I think, have been physically active for your whole life from a young age, and you've also played with Munster at underage levels with famous rugby players like Peter Stringer, for example, as well. So what has this physical side of your life been like, you know, being active and strong and into sport and all those things?
Well, it started from a very early age. I used to see my father. My father made a little homemade gym in the garage, and he used to do his pull-ups and he used to do his bench press. And I was fascinated with his muscles. That's like I said to myself, I want to have muscles like my dad. It's as simple as that. And also it comes from, you know, the little boy looking up to his father and wanting to impress his father. And I always thought if I had muscles, my dad would look at me and go, you know, wow, well done. So it all came from that. It came from my father being on the sideline in all the matches. He was super supportive. But I remember when I was 10 or 11 playing Gaelic football, you know, if I did something wrong, he'd come down to the sideline to me and, you know, give out to me badly in front of everyone. So it was a little bit embarrassing. So there was also pressure to perform and do my best. So I think my father balanced it really well with like to tell me, listen, you can do better. And also with the support. He was never super, super hard, but he stepped in when I needed it. And that pushed me to kind of do my best, like skill-wise, I was average, but hard-working-wise, I was above everyone else. So that's how I kind of balanced it out. And look, I went into I was a cyclist from 10 until 16, going to cycle races. I remember being super nervous. I remember one time in a race. There was three of us away in a breakaway, and I was so nervous. As I was cycling along, I got sick all over my bike, and I just continued cycling along, and like I came second. So like I've always been pushing myself, and that the cycling went on to rugby. As you said, played Munster under 20s and under 21s, not with Peter Stringer. Peter Stringer was a year ahead of me because I was the same position as him. So people like Paul O'Connell, Donagh Callaghan, Jerry Flannery would have been my year. And then the rugby went on to triathlon. So did triathlon for a couple of years, did an Ironman in Austria in 2010. And ever since then, my business has kind of substituted the competitiveness that I need. You know, I've relaxed a bit on the training. I go to the gym three days a week, but like all my competition now is in business and it's not actually on the field, which is another interesting thing. And that's why I love kind of being self-employed, because you're constantly on your toes. You can't relax. You have to continue to improve if you're going to survive.
So, well, actually the listeners will be able to see it obviously, but we can see that you're surrounded by boxes, big boxes. So you're obviously very busy with your business and doing really well. So tell us a little bit more about your beard oil business. You say you moved, you know, from training to that because of the pandemic mostly. But what's a typical day like for you? Do you still have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning like you did for the other thing, or a bit more of a rest?
I get up at six and I kind of I'm weird in the morning because I like to have an hour and a half before I actually have to leave the house. So my hour and a half is I get up, I do 5 minutes of stretches every morning, and that's a must because this is the first year I'm starting to feel a little bit old. I'm 44 now, I'm 45 at the end of the month. And this year I started feeling it in my hips as I was tying my shoelaces. I was thinking, what is happening here? I'm actually got quite stiff. So I do kind of 5 minutes of yoga stretches in the morning. And then I have a good breakfast. I look at Instagram to reply to any messages. I have a nice cup of coffee and then I head out the door. So in Clonakilty, my house is at the end of the hill in the center of town. And my office is kind of on the top of the hill. So I come up to my office then, and it's a case of checking what orders came in, you know, replying to emails and kind of getting a few business things done first. And then you look at the stock. So like back here is all my stock and that has to be replenished. So if that's low, I have to go and start making product. And so it's usually making product in the morning and then shipping product in the afternoon, so getting the orders out. And then at the end of the day, I take my big box of orders down to the post office, just drop them in and off they go. And that's pretty much it every day. It's super busy, so I try to take Saturdays off, but I usually end up working Saturdays as well. But as you know, like I work hard when I'm in Ireland, but then I go away for weekends in Spain. Yeah, it's something I need to work on. My partner, Laika, you know, she's not very impressed when I kind of, it's all work in Ireland, because obviously she wants to, you know, enjoy herself as well. So I'm working on kind of going for more hikes in Ireland and enjoying the country rather than all work in Ireland and then kind of almost escaping my work and going to Spain, which has been the case in the last year. And I got to kind of balance it up a little bit more.
So Colin, beards, I think, are definitely having a moment right now. They're more fashionable than they've ever been. As an expert or somebody who makes beard oil and helps people take care of their beards, what are your tips for somebody who's looking after their beards, especially an Irish beard, I guess, since a lot of your customers are probably based in Ireland? What can they do to have fantastic beards?
Well, first thing to realize is not all men can grow beards. So if you're one of the guys that actually can't grow a beard, my advice to you is to maybe focus on what you can do, maybe grow a nice mustache, and don't be feeling down that you can't grow a beard. Like, it comes down to genetics. A lot of it is genetics. A lot of it is what age group you are. If you're in your early 20s, you know, you're not going to have a fantastic beard. You know, probably beards are at their best in their probably 30s, I'd imagine, 30s, 40s, 20s, you're still growing. It might be a little bit patchy. And also to understand that, you know, growing a beard isn't just about growing hair on your face. You got to make the decision to look after it, because it's not going to be comfortable for you and it's not going to be comfortable for other people looking at you if you just let it go wild. So my two tips are to, you know, what happens when you grow a beard, the hair of the beard actually sucks away this, the moisture from the skin underneath your beard. So everyone thinks beard products are for the actual hair itself, but beard oil is for the skin underneath the beard. So it moisturizes the skin to prevent all the dry skin. Like, you'll see some guys with beards and they're wearing a black top, and you can see kind of dandruff, and that's from them touching their beard and dandruff falling or dry skin falling onto their top. So beard oil is essential, and also a beard brush. So you get rid of all the dry skin with the beard brush and then moisturize the skin. And just, you know, lastly, this has to become a routine. I have guys that buy beard oil and almost use it like an aftershave and use it once a week when they're going out. That's great, but it's not going to do anything for the health of your skin. They just think that, you know, they're putting it on and, you know, it makes their beard look a little shiny and nice. But the real thing about beards is you got to, you know, keep the skin healthy and also keep the hair nice and soft by looking after it. So they've become more popular, I think, because guys understand more now how to look after them, and there are products available to help them do that. Whereas before, beards had a bit of a bad reputation about being dirty because guys just didn't look after them. It takes time, and it goes back to when I was kind of, you know, doing my when I came back from Madrid and had all this time on my hands because I wasn't working a lot. So I had a lot of time to kind of research, and every product that I put out takes about 9 months to release a product. So, like, as you said, first of all, the idea happens, you know, what do I think would go well? And then after that, you have to actually combine the two. And a lot of the times it might be a disaster, or it might be a case of just reducing one essential oil a little bit more. Like, it's very, very, it's fractions. You go over the amount of essential oils you put in a beard oil by two or three drops, and it changes the whole thing. So you go from deciding on the scent to kind of putting the formula together. But then once I have the formula and I'm happy, you know, and I test on myself and I feel, okay, that's going to sell, because you have to make sure that the product is going to sell, because it's an expensive process to release a product. It costs me about maybe £500 or £600, because when I have the formula ready, I have to send it off to England to get tested and to get the safety cert. So basically, you know, if you leave it in your car, it's an oil, so if it gets too hot, it's not going to go on fire, things like that. And they test it in cold, they test it in heat, they test for bacteria. And then once I get the safety cert back, which costs me usually about £500 or £600, then I have to give them the percentages and the ratios of all the oils I use. And then I have to keep to those percentages. I can't go off and change them then once that safety cert is with me. I have to stick to that, and then you're away. Then of course there's the product photography, which is more expense. You know, there's all the time to write the copy of what is in the beer oil and all that. So yeah, it's a long process, but it's what I've been doing for the last 7 years now this year, and I'm hoping to bring out another two or three new products this year, fingers crossed.
Oh, so like the product is obviously really good. You go through a lot of things, you know, behind the scenes. But then, as you said, there's the aspect of promoting it. You need, you know, your clients, and we're big fans of your videos. They're hilarious. you had, even for, like, you know, obviously I'm not in your market, but yeah, it's quite funny to watch. So I guess in the end you end up, you know, showing it to people or whatever, and then that's good for you. You had one recently where you really grew your beard, you know, and then you cut it back. And quite funny. So what is your secret for that? You know, how do you, because obviously people are engaging a lot with what you do. You know, is it because you're a natural actor or?
I don't think it's that, that's for sure. But my social media progressed as well. At the start, it was all about just giving beer tips and helping people out. And then, like I said, I'm kind of year seven now at this stage. So after a while, you know, just like the English teaching, I have to make sure that I'm happy and I'm, you know, enjoying myself. And with the beer tips, it was great, but I found myself getting a little bit bored. And so last year I decided I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try to, you know, make fun of people with beards, you know, just make fun of myself and stuff like that and not take things so seriously. So that's when the kind of funny videos came out. And for me, it's about kind of just not promoting my product very often, because nobody likes to get sold to. So like for me to say, buy my beard oil, people switch off straight away. But like if I can make you aware of of, you know, what a good looking beard looks like, or, you know, make fun of eating an ice cream when you have a beard, which is very difficult, or drinking a pint of Guinness, things like that, that people can relate to. It's much better for my business and for my branding and for my brand awareness to do that rather than pushing my products on people.
I really like your slogan on social media as well, which is winning.
Well, people have just grabbed that. That video was the winning. I did three winning videos so far, and I will do more. But winning part one was the biggest video I've ever done. With like, at this stage is probably about 2 million views. But wow. That was just a completely random video that I just kind of thought about one day, and I put up my phone on and did a kind of rehearsal of it. And then I went to my video guy and explained it to him, and it just took off. That was just like another normal video. I did not expect that to take off at all. And just, again, people related to it with the problems of eating ice cream, drinking a pint, you know, looking crazy in the morning when you have a big beard. And also it went from funny videos, but also in between that, like you said, growing out my beard. I kind of like to do all the beard styles, so I know what tips to give guys with a massive beard, what tips to give guys with a short beard. And like, if I haven't done it myself, I really don't know what I'm talking about when I am trying to give these tips. So yeah, that's important as well. So, you know, if you look back at my social media, you'll see myself with a big mustache, kind of almost clean shaven with a mustache, big beard, short beard, all the types. So at the moment I'm transitioning from a short beard to a big beard again for 2024. But last year I went wild with it. This year I'm going to keep it nice and neat and trim it, but also go very, very big.
So Colin, just for our listeners, what's the name of your beard company?
It's West Cork Beard Company, like the place in Ireland. So it's been that name since day one. I wanted to kind of blend my business with a beautiful part of Ireland.
So we'll put all your links in the description so people can use your fantastic products. It's been a pleasure having you, Colin. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Delighted to be here. Thank you.